Support for GLT comes from Bloomington Public Library, now offering a local podcast, Shelf Understanding. Past topics include the tiny house movement, virtual reality, an interview with author Eric Larson, and more. Shelf Understanding is available at bloomingtonlibrary.org, through iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is 89.1 GLT and WGLT.org.
There's no denying that winter can be brutally cold, but that brutality can actually be of service in the garden. I'm Laura Kennedy, and this is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our expert in the field. From the Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences and curator of the Fell Arboretum, it's Patrick Murphy. Hello there, Murph.
Good afternoon, Laura.
Thank you so much for being here. Today on GLT's Grow, we're going to talk about how the chill of winter can actually be helpful to gardeners. So when we're gritting our teeth and bundling up with six or seven layers, well, you know, there's actually something good that comes of that. We should remind ourselves.
Yeah, that's right. Mr. Frost has a lot of work to do while we're all inside, gazing on our property, gazing on our snow-covered gardens or the mud-covered. It depends on where you are right now in the Midwest. But there's a lot of things that are interrupted by lack of a robust winter. Right.
So if we had a winter where it was always in the 40s, we'd think, hey, great, but that's really not so great after all.
Yes, because it touches every part of the life cycle that affects the world we live in, the world that we share the living things with. So one thing that I found really interesting in preparing to talk about this was the example related to the sugar maples, which are tapped for sap to make pancake syrup.
Like they do out at Funk's Grove.
That's right. That's right. In parts of Michigan, where they have wonderful lake effect weather, the western shores of Lake Michigan, Grand Rapids, Muskegon, all that, the sugar maples grow to be a couple hundred feet tall there because it's great lake effect winters. They have lots of snow, but it doesn't get super, super cold. But the ground stays covered with snow for a long time. And the typical winter conditions are what have created the bounty in that and many other areas. So I guess one way to look at it is to talk about what happens when we don't get this kind of winter. So we've had a winter so far where the month of January has given us some 40 and 50 degree temperatures.
Mm-hmm.
And if this was to persist into, or say reappear again late in February or even early March, where it's balmy spring temperatures, you can still get the cold weather. We've all seen this. You're washing your car in the driveway during the holiday break, and then when you go back to work, it's freezing cold again. Sometimes those brief periods of warm weather are what trigger the plants to release their sap, to start initiating bud and vegetative growth. And if that takes place and then it gets cold again, well, that's an adverse difference. And that can damage cells, not only in the plants, but in the insects that are important to the life cycle, particularly pollination.
Oh.
Right? So in this example with the pancake syrup trees, they noticed that the snow would start to melt around the base of these trees, indicating that late in the winter, early spring conditions are coming and the tree is getting ready to release its sap. So the sap farmer, property owner, is ready. There's no surprise. But what if that guy is out in Palm, or that gal or girl, a guy are out in Palm Desert enjoying a vacation, and their farm back home, they get 40, 50 degree temps for a week or two. There's nothing they can do about it. They might as well stay and enjoy their vacation. But that sap is going to slip away and go to waste. Or the tree is going to start to grow because the trees will start to grow with the warmer temperature. They also start to grow because of the longer days. But it's a catastrophe because that same issue of the loosening from warmth and then the tightening from the freezing, think about the cells that make up the little insects that spread the pollen around. So, yeah, the mosquitoes, the ticks, the fleas, and the aphids, they take a beating when it's really cold out, but that we want that. But we don't want all the moths and the butterflies and everything to take that beating.
You're listening to GLT's Grow, our weekly gardening show. For those who like to get their hands dirty, this week, the upside of winter chill. And you just mentioned my favorite thing about winter. What I like to do when it gets to be like 5 degrees below zero is to stand at my back door and say, "Die, Japanese beetle vermin underneath the soil. I know those grubs are down there." And hopefully something this cold, like we had right after Christmas, cold temperatures like that, can that get down deep enough to kill the grubs of Japanese beetles?
It can. It's supposed to.
It's supposed it's to. Supposed That's the to, key.
Right? So I would answer that by presenting this scenario, and I bet you that many people have experienced this in the last month. You get the warm temperature, and you see the ladybug all of a sudden. What the heck is he doing here?
Right.
What's she doing here? And then you see the little orange version of the ladybug, like or a corn beetle. Well, they've had an opportunity because there's some warmth from the shelter of the home that they've been hiding in, you know, the nooks and crannies of our construction, plus the air temperature heats up, and the insects, they're kind of on autopilot that way, you know, their physiology wakes them up. The same is true for all the buds on the trees.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, you think about a lot of the adaptable or favorite landscaping plants in particular that are, you know, your flowering pears, your flowering cherries and stuff. For one, they're all the same family, but they encounter this early balmy weather by developing buds, which are only to be attacked with fire blight when the cool, wet spring comes. And some of that bacteria and the mold and such, it survives when they're freezing temperatures are not long enough.
Okay.
And it blossoms when it's cold and then it warms up. And if it gets cold again, it has to get cold for quite a while for it to kind of correct all that.
So really an extended period of really cold temperatures is what's best for our gardens.
It appears so.
Okay.
Because, you know, you got to think about all the beneficials. You know, so we mentioned the aphids, the ticks and the fleas and all that stuff. They're useful to other members of the food chain that consume them, but they spread some pollen, but not like the moths and the butterflies and the grasshoppers and stuff like that. And even the mammals are impacted by this.
Yes.
So I was discovering as I was looking for information about how the water table is affected. We'll talk about that. But, you know, bears are woken up from their hibernation early only to be confronted with conditions that are not favorable for their hunting.
Yeah.
And you think of the snowshoe rabbit in parts of the country where winter came and it disappeared, and that snowshoe rabbit is made to be camouflaged with its white hair, and its adorable huge feet are made to run fast on snow.
No. Okay.
And when they don't have any camouflage to blend in with and they have no snow to run on, they're vulnerable. So then that living thing takes a beating because the proper winter conditions aren't lasting
or
they never showed up at all.
Yeah. And yeah. It happens.
And so another thing that's kind of like, you know, the logic of it all, the lack of snow and winter rain increases soil erosion and it decreases surface water, which leads to groundwater that fills up our aquifers.
Yeah.
10 inches of snow equals 1 inch of rain. So if we have this real conservative snow and then the ground does freeze, and then we get lots of spring rains, and it's still cool out. A lot of that water just kind of runs around, and it's not absorbed into the earth to refill the aquifers. And all those empty pore spaces that are filled with air, which used to be filled with water. So it's important that we get our tuchuses frozen off for a while.
So we should just stop complaining about the cold and say, you know what? Grin and bear it. And well, don't bear it. Put on several layers and then bear it that way.
Yeah, I'm guilty of this because I love the heat. I don't mind it, but for some reason, the cold, I have to bite my tongue a lot because it's easy to complain about it.
But it does serve its purpose.
It does.
And the snow as well. We should be glad of that in the garden. Okay, Murph, good information there. Now, next week on GLT's Grow, we're going to be talking about how the wind impacts your plants. If you've got a gardening question or problem that you'd like Murph to take on, we'd love to hear from you at wglt.org/grow. There's a form there. Fill it in. Send that along to us, and we'd love to feature that on the air. So submit your questions at our website now at wglt.org/grow.